We're happy to have Brother Carlton and Sister Catherine with us, and Angela. Nice to have you with us. And Brother Carlton has chosen for his subject tonight, Unity of the Spirit. Unity of the Spirit, Brother Carlton.
Thank you, Brother Allen and Brother Jerry, on that prayer. My dear brethren, it is always a blessing to be here in Boise. I can't believe another year has gone past already, and here we are again. Another year older, but I'll hope another year wiser. And we're very happy and blessed to be here. And we bring you the love and greetings of all of your brethren in Portland. They voted both on a Sunday and a Wednesday to have their love sent to all of you here. There are about 11 of us, I believe, now here from Portland, and that's nice that we can have as many come here from our class. We also bring you love and greetings from our children, their families. They always ask to have their love sent to all of you along with us that remember them. And we are happy to have our granddaughter Angela with us again this year. We also bring you love and greetings from Rayford and Yanni Stafik. Sister Yanni would have loved to have been here, but Rayford has had knee surgery and he's getting along just fine. I talked to them this morning and they're doing well, and they asked that their love be sent along with me here. The unity of the Spirit. What a subject. Subject that I feel very inadequate even to talk about, but it is one that's very important to us all. We have that beautiful scripture that is given to us from the 133rd Psalm. I'm going to read it first of all from the Living Bible, and then I'm going to read it from a modern English translation from Farrar and Fenton. The first is from the Living Bible. Psalms 133, verses 1 to 3. How wonderful it is and how pleasant when brothers live in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the fragrant anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head and ran down onto his beard and onto the borders of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew of Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon, of course, in Lebanon, that tall, beautiful mountain, generally always covered with snow, of the mountains of Israel. And God has pronounced his eternal blessing on Jerusalem, even life forevermore. Then Farrar and Fenton reads it this way on this same song. See how good and how sweet it is when brothers rest as friends. 'Tis like the sweet oil from his head that flowed down to the beard, and from the beard of Aaron ran down to his garment's hem. Like Hermon's dew that falls upon the heights of Zion's hill, for there the Lord his blessing gives and life forevermore. Isn't that beautiful? And you know, that has a lot in it. Every word, it means a lot and should mean a lot to all of the Lord's people. We remember how the Apostle Paul stated in Hebrews 10 and 24, he said, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." We remember back when Lyndon Johnson was president in 1964, in one of his speeches, he wrote these words. He said, "Man's greatest hope for peace lies in his understanding of his fellow man. Nations," he said, "are like individuals, fear that which is strange and unfamiliar to them. The more we see and hear of those things which are common to all people, the less likely we are to fight over those issues which set us apart. Therefore, the challenge is to communicate, unquote. I think if I were to look at his speech, these words that he gave us here, I could condense them a little bit, and I would say that the important words were to understand his fellow man. Understand his fellow man. But we know, as the world, and we as even as Bible students, have found that unity of the Spirit is far from what it should be. Today we live in a very complex society, one in which it takes a great deal of togetherness to survive. As our population increases, so do our problems. That's not hard to figure out, but that's unfortunately it. It then becomes how we solve these problems that makes communication in our lives, our interaction with one another, our unity of the Spirit so important. Then we read this: no problem was ever solved. No problem was ever solved by various parties sitting back and hoping that that problem would simply go away. And I think all of us understand that part very well, too. Sometimes we find that even talking about a problem doesn't solve it. And there's been a lot of talk between Israel and Palestine, the Palestinians. Peace initiatives have been made, but one side refuses to honor them. What then? Well, the communication, of course, stops, and what we have seen happened is war. The question often asked is, why do we not have this unity of the Spirit? How is it that we are not able to communicate really as we should with one another? Get along. Work side by side. Enjoy the peace that is indicated in this beautiful 133rd Psalm. The 133rd Psalm, of course, isn't referring to the world of mankind, but its principles apply to all of us. Every one of us, as whether we're Bible students or whether we are in the world or have been in the world. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so the question comes right back to us again: are we really dwelling as one? Well, we try, but many times we fail. Webster says of this word, to communicate. I like these different definitions of words. I've been a person, I guess, all my life that likes words, but I don't always understand them. And some words have many meanings, as we know, and this is one of them. But they're all important words for communication. To share in or to partake of. That's one meaning. To share in or partake of. Second is the imparting or the interchange of thoughts, ideas, or opinions of information. When we look at this word communicate from the Greek, we find it is in two parts from the Greek, dia, lelio. And I'm probably not pronouncing the Greek correctly, but it's made up of two parts. Dia, by turns, to take by turns, and lelio, to speak. So it means to speak by turns. That's simply the word for communication, to speak by turns. How often it is that when we take our time and speak by turns, the person we're speaking to has already got the answer. And they're waiting for you to shut up so they can talk. Well, we're all that way a little bit, aren't we? Also from the Greek, the word comes is another Greek word, koinonio, meaning to give a share to or to go shares with. Now, I kind of like that one. I think that one works with brethren quite well. An example of this word is And it comes from the Scriptures. Paul's words again, let those who receive instruction in Christian truth share with their instructors in all temporal blessings. Galatians 6:6. We do this in our class meetings, don't we? We should be doing this with our class meetings as a question is given out in class from our studies. We're allowed, those in the audience, share with us their thoughts. And we share with them our thoughts. Actually, there is within this unity of the Spirit, there is a family of words. There's a great family of words that have to do with our unity of the Spirit. In every discourse, such as the one tonight here, there's always an object in mind. Always an object in mind by the one who is giving this discourse. We would like to impart our thoughts here tonight along the line of what is the value? What is the value of our assembling ourselves together? Of sharing our thoughts and ideas, our questions? And finally, with all of this, to unite ourselves in the bonds of Christian unity and love, as we find in our psalm. And as we progress from one point to another, we need to ask ourselves a group of questions. And only you, brethren, individually, and myself, can answer for ourselves these questions. Has there ever been a lack of communication in our lives? In our Christian walk? What value is there in a mutual sharing of thoughts and ideas and feelings? And how can we, as prospective members of the body of Christ, bring ourselves to that position of unity pleasing to the Heavenly Father and to our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How can we attain to what the Apostle Paul admonishes us to do when he says, I entreat you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus, to cultivate a spirit of harmony, every one of you, and that there be no divisions among you, but rather a perfect union through your having one mind and one judgment. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. From the Weymouth translation. Now we look at the Apostle Paul, and he was a wonderful man. He had his problems, though, didn't he? Did he always have unity of the Spirit? And the answer is no. Was he always able to communicate together with his brethren? The answer is no. Why? Because we read of him that in his day some took his spot and says, I am of Paul. Others took Apollos and says, I am from Apollos, or I agree with him. Others said, I agree with Peter, called Cephas there in this scripture. But Paul says, is Christ divided? Pretty good question to ask, and for all of us individually to ask of ourselves. Is Christ divided? Sometimes I think of this business of God's truth, the precious truth that every one of us has, and I think we divide this truth up. We're a little bit like the two harlot ladies in King Solomon's day who had children, and one of the babies died, and the other one took the baby during the night and placed her dead baby in the arms of the other baby and took that live baby, and she said, that baby is mine. And of course, Paul said in that respect, he said, well, take a sword and cut the baby in half. We'll give each half to one of the children. To Solomon. Thank you. Of course, that isn't our real answer here, is it? But do we do something like this? Are we ready to, with our sword to do this with the truth? To cut, divide, and stand with the conqueror, as it were. Instead of being pulled apart by misunderstandings, the apostle says we're to come together. That's his idea and his word. Be united. Now, what divided those brethren back in Paul's day, we could ask ourselves, was it lack of communication? Was it lack of humility? Was it a bit of pride, perhaps, on some of their parts? One of the ways of communicating properly, one of the ways of attaining to the unity of the Spirit, was that which occurred clear back in Abraham's time, when Lot was traveling with him, and they had grown to the position where the herdsmen were beginning to fight over the land. We remember that, don't we? Remember that particular period there. How did they settle the argument? They settled the argument, or Abraham settled the argument, by giving Lot the choice of the land he wanted. He said, let there be no strife between us, for we are brethren. That's the words that he used. In other words, you choose now the way you want to go, and I'll go the other way. Well, what part did the unity of the Spirit play between these two? You know, Abraham could have said, it was Lot that was traveling with him. He could have said, you know, you're traveling with me. Stop making trouble. I'll make the decisions. But Abraham considered the situation, and that is the lesson for all of us. In any situation that we have on the truth with our brethren and with one another, and then even sometimes with the world, we have to consider the situation and remember that to have full unity of the Spirit, we use a little tact in our... You know, sometimes it's better, and I think there's a statement that's made, it was made just recently, I think, in one of the mana texts, where it talks about preferences. Preferences we can give. Principles, well, we have to think about that a little bit. But I think when we consider this little lesson on how Abraham settled the problem is the way that we should begin to consider in our lifetime as well, as how we consider or how we settle our problems with our brethren. We said that there's a family of words that can be used with our communication to make the unity of the Spirit. The first one is sharing. And this has the thought, sharing has the thought of kinship. Kinship is a family relationship. And we are, as brethren in Christ, a family, one family. Not a divided family. We are one family. And families should be close-knitted. They should be able to communicate with one another. And being in Christ, we should become one. In his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul again says, collectively, this is what he says, collectively, we form one body in Christ. While individually, we are linked to one another as members. Romans 12:5 from the Weymouth. Now notice here that we are individuals. Yet being together, we become one. We become linked together. If we have the true spirit of unity, if... That's the question. We will speak often one with another. And then, of course, as it reads, they reverence the Lord those who reverenced the Lord spoke often one with another, and the Lord hearkened to this. He listened to this. And he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those that reverenced and thought upon his name, Malachi 3:16. What's the common bond? There has to be a common bond if there's going to be unity of the Spirit. And of course we believe that common bond that links us all together as one is love. We suggest it's love. It starts with our class studies even. It continues in our prayers, praise, and testimony meetings. Further with special meetings such as our conventions and our witness activities and even in our business meetings. The common bond in all of these meetings along every line, all lines of the truth should, there's an emphasis again on the word should, bring us closer in kinship, this family relationship with one another. And this, if this is done, will bring glory to the Heavenly Father. There's another lesson. Another lesson that I had thought on for a long time. And that's the lesson of Cain and Abel. It was jealousy that caused Cain to kill his brother. There was very little unity of the Spirit. There was very little of the family relationship there. How well they got along before the incident of the sacrificing to the Heavenly Father, we aren't told. However, there is a lesson of true kinship that we all need to learn from this little lesson of Cain and Abel. After Cain killed his brother, God asked him a simple question. Where is your brother? You know the answer. You know the answer that came from Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? That's the question. So we look at ourselves now as individually and collectively linked together here, and we say, am I my brother's keeper? And in the truest of senses, the answer is yes, we are. Now, no doubt, we could have looked back and we surmise this, of course. It's not told us directly, but surely. Adam, told Cain and Abel, after they were born, what kind of a specific and acceptable sacrifice God wanted. It wasn't that the sacrifice of Cain was so bad, but it was not the proper sacrifice that he was looking for. But that didn't matter to Cain. And instead of saying and communicating, and this is our communication like with one another here, instead of saying, Abel could have pointed out to him, he could have said, Cain, I know you're the oldest. I know your sacrifices are from the heart. But you know what Father said to us and told us what kind of a sacrifice God would accept. And therefore, I will give you this sacrifice. You give me a little of your produce and I'll give you one of my lambs. You can sacrifice it. That would have settled the problem. How tactful Abel could have been. But it wasn't that way with Cain. We are our brother's keeper in the sense of helping each other in every affair of life that we can. Our labor is a labor of faith and of love and of patience with one another. How often I have to look and ask myself that, how much patience do I have and exercise? We have this labor of faith and love and patience. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 and Colossians 1:4 and again 1 Thessalonians 1:15 and 1 John 3:14. These are some of the scriptures we have. We all have responsibilities. Where do we put our responsibilities? Where do we put ourselves in this bit of unity of the Spirit? We need to be carefully and prayerfully watching for opportunities of edifying and building up our brethren. Spiritually, we could be just like Cain. Spiritually, we can slay our brethren. How? With a sword? With our hands? No, with our lips. Anger begets wrath. Wrath begets spiritual murder. The more we come together, the more we will rub and polish one another. Now, this is a good point. The more we come together, the more we will rub and polish one another. And polishing causes friction. And friction causes heat. And too much heat makes fire. The answer? Well, again, we have the Apostle Paul for our answer. Let us bestow thought on one another with a view to arousing one another to brotherly love and right conduct, not neglecting, as some habitually do, to meet together, but encouraging one another. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 from the Weymouth Translation. There's another word in our family of words that goes along with our unity of the Spirit. The second one is contribution. And to contribute from the Latin is con, meaning with, and tribute to a lot, or tribue, put together, to have in common. One mind, united by mutual love, one for another, mutual harmony, mutual feeling, the giving of one's mind to one and the same object. Do nothing, we read, in the spirit of factiousness or with vain glory, but with true humility, let everyone regard the other one as being of more account than himself. Each fixing his attention not simply on his own intents, as most of us do, but on those of the others. Philippians 2:2-4 from the Weymouth. How can we go about giving our whole mind, spirit, to one another? How can we become of one mind? Well, we have a starting point. All of us have a starting point along this line. Each day, as our eyes open to a new day, our prayers should be raised to the Heavenly Father with such words as, Father, help me this day to contribute something to the welfare of my brethren and something towards thy plan. And second, then, if we are so inclined, we might write notes of encouragement to the shut-ins or those who need it. We might if we come in contact with each other in the course of the day, we might discuss some feature of truth that has been helpful to us and might be helpful to them. And always it is important that we try to be happy about what we do with one another. I find that very difficult at times. Maybe you do too, I don't know. Because there will always be the rough edges of life that we could talk about. But being happy, we will have much of God's goodness to relate to one another. A ready smile, a friendly handshake, a hug. All of these go a long way, don't they, brethren, to cut off the rough edges of everyday experience. No one, and I emphasize this, no one can say, I have nothing to contribute. None of us can say that. To share. It is true, some do not have the privilege of meeting regularly for fellowship and study. That's true. And there are others who are physically not able to meet regularly. With these, we say there is still things you can do for the Lord and for His cause. You can pray. You can write notes of encouragement. If you have a telephone, you can call someone to encourage them. Many times I find myself with a bit of procrastination or a rationalization of the conditions that surround me to the point of sitting back and not doing these things. How easy it is. But these are all things we can do. Another in our fellowship or our family of words is the word fellowship. This is another thing that draws us, another thing that unites us in our unity of spirit. It's a community of interest that we have, a feeling, an association, a oneness, a closeness. Paul had this feeling. I can picture him in my mind, this great man, as he went around and started these various families, these little churches here and there, and then when he was unable anymore to go, he would write these letters, and others would deliver these letters to the brethren. But Paul looked at the brethren as his family. That's the way he looked at them. Not just because we have a closer relationship with one brother or one sister, or maybe we see one brother or one sister over here that has a fault and that kind of stands out in our minds, or we think that it's a fault. No. Paul looked at them all as a family, as a close-knit, well-knit family, and he said this. I love this verse. He felt a kindred spirit in working together, as we all have the privilege of doing in spreading the gospel message. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always making mention of you in prayer and for your fellowship in the gospel. Philippians 1:3-5. Philippians 1:3-5. And the Apostle John goes on to say that we have fellowship with the Father if we walk in the light. Well, we hope we're walking in the light. We're certainly not walking in darkness. The light of the truth is growing brighter day by day. And it says, if we walk in the light, we will also then have fellowship with one another. 1 John 1:6-7. Do we feel that the furtherance of the gospel and our fellowship with one another is our goal? Do we have a love of the truth and a desire to work together in the spreading of it? It is God who is now seeking a class. Maybe I better say that, emphasize that a little bit. It is God who is seeking a class who have the same aspirations, who has the same goals to live and to reign with Him and with His beloved Son in the blessing of all the families of the earth. If we have the unity of the Spirit, we will have this one aspiration. We will have this one goal. It will be our desire to daily, hourly, lay down our lives in sacrifice one for another, and to work for together in the furtherance of the spreading of the gospel message as one family. For God is looking for a family who love Him, who love His Son, and who love each other. In writing to Philemon, the Apostle Paul, in verse 6 of his letter, there says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may promote the knowledge of all the good that is in Christ. I pray that the sharing of your faith may promote the knowledge of all the good that is in Christ. The Diaglot, Rotherham, and Greek Interlinear say the fellowship of your faith. And Weymouth uses the word participation. Writing to Titus, the Apostle Paul said, and we quote, this is a faithful saying, that these things that I would that these things thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. Titus 3:8. In conclusion, brethren, how well are we doing in our quest for attaining the unity of the Spirit? Are we dwelling together in oneness? Are we working together as one family to disseminate the truth? Are we collectively linked together as the body of Christ? Is love the common bond? Are we contributing to the good of all? Do we have the true fellowship with one another that the Apostle Paul had for his brethren? Soon, the call to joint heirship with Christ will close. And God now is calling for one harmonious family again to be associated with His beloved Son. Let us strive to have this unity without which, and I'll say that again, without which none will be of God's family. On June the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, Portland will have its convention. We're looking for every one of you to be there. And I'd like to take your reservations. You can see me before this convention is over with, and I'll be happy to make sure that there's a place for you. Know that you'll all be welcome there. The Lord bless you.
Well, we thank you, Brother Carlton, for that wonderful lesson on unity of spirit. I'm sure that's what we'll strive for this weekend, and share each other's unity. Just a couple of announcements I'd like to make. The convention sessions both tomorrow and Sunday will start at 9:30 here in this room. And someone asked about breakfast. There is a coffee shop down near the lobby, just up the stairs from the lobby. It's a nice little coffee shop there for breakfast. And if anyone desires to symbolize their consecration, I'd like to have them let me know by noon tomorrow. We are going to have a baptismal service. So if anyone would like to symbolize their consecration, please let me know by tomorrow noon. Tomorrow night we have a short 15-minute Vesper service, and anyone who would like to participate, we'd like to have you be prepared to take part in the practices. They're going to follow each of the meals tomorrow, and you'll be announced more about that later. But be sure and think about it. We'd like to have all of you participate, all of you want to sing in the choir. Brother Carlton has chosen hymn number 354 for closing. We will sing all four verses, but we'll remain seated, and then we'll have songs in the night after that. So hymn number 354, all four verses, please. Have Brother David Blinko lead songs in the night for us. Brother David.
Songs in the night for April the 26th are taken from Romans 13, verses 11 and 12. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The comments? If the apostle could say to the saints of his day, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, etc., because they had then entered upon the gospel age with its privilege of running the race for the prize of our high calling, with how much greater force do his words apply to these closing days of the age? Yes, the night is far spent, and the day, the glorious millennial day, is at hand. Even now, the gray streaks of dawn appear. It is the day when the kingly bridegroom shall receive unto himself his ready and waiting bride, and the time is short in which to make ready for our gathering together unto him. It is high time indeed to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation, our glorious deliverance, very near. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand.
Thank you, Brother David. We pray that you all have a nice, restful night tonight and be ready for a full day of blessings tomorrow. Would you all rise and we'll have Brother Chandler dismiss this evening and this day of prayer, please.
Our loving and kind, all-wise Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our heads tonight in prayer to Thee in the name and merits of Jesus our Savior. How thankful we are to be gathered here at another Boise Convention, Father, to know that You'll be with us this weekend in the deliberations that will come from this platform and for our fellowship one with another. How sweet this fellowship is, Father. We all long, Father, to be with Thee and to be with Thy Son, our beloved Savior. We all desire to see the blessings accrue to all the families of this earth. And this we feel is short. The time is short when this will come to pass. Help us to be faithful to that covenant we made with Thee, Father, and that we might walk closer one with another as children and as one family. Be with us this night. Keep us and will watch over us until the morning. And then tomorrow, may we come back and be ready for blessings again that will flow from this platform. We are indeed grateful, Father, for everything Thou hast granted unto us. And we say that we ask forgiveness for anything that we have said or done amiss this day in any way. Help us to do better. And we will strive along this line, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.